Good morning and congratulations, graduates, faculty, administration, and family. Thank you for honoring me with the opportunity to speak to you. This is a time of great change, as your class leader told you. And life is about change and how you deal with it, or it deals with you. I have had many examples in my life of change, and many times change affected me profoundly. And if I didn't move with it and change with it and adjust to it and confront it, I clearly would have failed. One such example I had was with a film that the president of the university mentioned, Rain Man. It started out one way, it ended another. Let me take you through the course for a minute or two. The story started as a television pitch, not as a feature movie. The script was developed, was turned in. The television network said, I don't think this is going to work. Well, to a producer, those are scary words, because that's where you eat, when the television network says it is going to work or it isn't going to work. We didn't give up. We worked on it a little further, and suddenly Dustin Hoffman said, I'm interested in this project. And suddenly it was no longer a television show. It was a movie. We continued to develop it, and we got Tom Cruise committed to it. Then we needed a filmmaker. The filmmaker who was on the project, Marty Brest, said, I don't know, these two people, they're not going to get along too well. I'm nervous about it. It's two people talking in a car. And after 8 months, he dropped out of the project. That's usually a death knell for a project, that kind of change. Well, what happened? We searched, we stayed with it, and suddenly Steven Spielberg said, I'm interested in doing this. He developed it for another 10 or 12 months, wrote the script all over again. At the end of the day, he said, I don't know if two people like this are going to be believable. Stars at this level should be done with unknowns. I don't think I'm right for this. He drops out of the project. That's called negative momentum. Bad news. By this time, everybody was moving away from the project, the studio, the finances, the distributors. But the people hung in. The actors hung in. And we searched for another filmmaker. And Sidney Pollack said, I think I'm going to do this. He developed it for another year. Finally, he called, said, I got to speak to you. Can you come over? I knew that wasn't going to be good news. It was another goodbye speech. But it wasn't. He came and said, I'm just about ready to do this, but I have one problem, Peter. Just one problem. He said, you know the credits in the front of the film? It says either Peter Guber or Sidney Pollack, first or second. Well, I want to be first. Now, there are two things in the entertainment business that are important. Bank credit and screen credit. In this case, I said, well, let's do something democratic. I mean, I understand how you feel about that, but I've put all the money and all the time and developed it for almost 3 years. I'll tell you what, let's do something really democratic and thoughtful and intellectually sound. Let's flip a coin. So I pulled a dime out of my pocket, and he said, flip a coin? He said, okay. I flipped the coin. He said, heads, I win. Tails, you win. Came out heads. He said, okay, you can go first. 2 days later, he dropped out of the project. Well, Barry Levinson committed to the project next. And as you might know, he saw it through to the end. But just before the film was to shoot, Kirk Kerkorian, a multi-billionaire living in California, who owned MGM, called me and said, could you come over to my office? What was this one going to be about? He said, Peter, this film's going to cost $22 million. And the biggest action in the film is somebody shutting a car door. Two people talking in an automobile. This isn't a worldwide picture. This isn't going to do anything around the rest of the world. We pushed, we shoved, we hung in. He said, okay, we'll finance the picture anyways, because he had already spent $6.5 million in development. It was easier to make it than not make it. We made the film. Of course, it was the largest grossing Academy Award-winning film in the history of the business and one of the largest grossing international films. At the Academy Award, when they announced, and the winner is Rain Man, it was terrifically exciting. And as we stood up and I looked around, I saw Sidney Pollack there. And I waved to him and I held up the dime. Now you want to think about change, the change that you're going to confront in the world. Think about this for a moment. 10,000 generations, 200,000 years, 2 billion people to 1950. In one generation, albeit a long one, 40 years to 1990, 6 billion people on this planet. These numbers will change your lives. Let me repeat, 10,000 generations, 200,000 years, 2 billion people, one generation, 35, 40 years, 6 billion people. Remember these numbers because they will have a profound impact on your ideas, your dreams, and everything you do. This explosion in world population is a force to be reckoned with. Your career, your world, your success will depend on how effectively you address and manage this tremendous and accelerating growth and its impact on our world. Think about this. In my 50 years, more people have been born throughout the world than were born in the entire history of mankind combined. And by the time you have daughters and sons at UConn, there will be 50% more souls living, breathing, and competing for the scarce resources of this planet. Yet another force at work in our system at the very same time is the more rapid and exponential change in scientific achievement. Consider this. If you place the entire evolution of our mankind on one calendar year continuum, the first rudimentary organisms would come on the planet, viruses, about June. The first cellular animals in September. And the dinosaurs would disappear mid-December. About 11:30 on December 31st, hominids would emerge. And Gutenberg would usher in the modern age at the end of 1159-59, the final second of the entire calendar year. Every technological innovation of the past 100 years, including the entire multimedia environment, would be relegated to the final nanosecond, a fractional fraction of a second on the recorded clock of history. Think about this carefully. Every single thing that's happened. Just think about somebody 100 years old for a second who's sitting out there, not out here, but somewhere, and could say that when she sat on her grandfather's lap 95 years ago, who was then maybe 75, 80 years old for a span of 180 years, and said, someday I'm going to fly from London to New York, get a fax, watch a movie, have a limousine pick me up, and get there before I left, they would have hung her for a witch. The change in science is almost indistinguishable from magic. It's happening so fast. Combine the explosive population growth and the exponential rate of scientific progress, and you have a world in the last blink of an eye that has been changing in profound, sweeping, and unprecedented ways, ways that will affect every aspect of our existence, and most important, your dreams and your ideas, the fuel for your future. At first glance, these forces may seem overwhelming, and what can I do? I'm a small person, tiny in the world. I'll have no impact. But the exact opposite is true. Our society is no longer operates on a barter system. You give me the meat, I give you the potatoes. No longer written on a hieroglyphics on a cave wall. Technology has created an interconnected network of global communications which reaches out into civilizations all over the world instantaneously. And just as important, all of the elements now reach into your heart and soul in a unique and transcendent way, right into your gut. Technology has created those tools, and mankind is using them. Today, our local neighborhood is the global electronic village, and its resources give you an incredibly exalted position and the power to make this village a special place. Today, the choice is yours. That is a choice you must consider making. Will it be something you do positively or something you do negatively? In our global electronic village, you throw the switch and you have the power, figuratively and literally. From here, Storrs, Connecticut, to Stockholm, Sweden, everybody in the world now is turning on and tuning in. Your ability to create an impact doesn't depend on whether you become an entertainer or an anchorman. With resources of the electronic age, you have the power, the authority, and the responsibility to make your information, knowledge, and opinions heard on a global scale. One single image can change the world. Remember that boy in front of the tank at Tiananmen Square? Just think about how many images can just change the whole direction of the world. As the opportunities to electronically transmit information multiply exponentially, you won't need to be technologically proficient. You'll just have the will to ask and the will and the commitment to search, to use those resources. The emerging technologies grow very sophisticated, and your likeness will be able to be leaped across great distances, over cultural barriers, linguistic hurdles, and national boundaries. You don't need to be an engineer or an evangelist to enlighten the minds and inspire the actions in every corner of our planet. You have the power to shape the attitudes, opinions, and behaviors in a positive way. You simply must have the desire. That is my generation's powerful and precious legacy to yours, an extensive and rapidly expanding global architecture of communications which allows everyone to have a greater opportunity to shape our world than ever before. You have the tools, you have the reach, you have the resources. Throw the switch, you have the power. My question to you is this: are you willing to embrace this power? And if you are, how will you plan to use it? The relentless advance of technological change carries with it a whole new dimension of social responsibilities. And now we've built an entire new communication architecture. With these additional resources comes added responsibility. You will have an affirmative obligation to communicate knowledge and ideas of enduring value, information which contributes to the positive and enlightened evolution of distant countries and future generations, as well as your own colleagues and neighborhoods. As part of this litmus test, throw out the 80s. The key words: bigger, stronger, faster, and more complex. You need to ask whether your communication will improve, elevate, inform, enlighten, and inspire. You have the choice of becoming either the mirrors or the beacons of your society. You can reflect on the hopelessness of the 11 o'clock news. Look at it. It's terrible. It's toxic. It might as well go down into your basement, turn on your engine to your car, and suck two big whiffs off its exhaust. It infects your dreams and ideas before you go to bed. You can either do that, or you can shape your destiny. The choice is yours. Oh, you don't think you're going to be part of the communications business, so this has no relevance to you. Perhaps you're going to be a theologian, a veterinarian, a scientist, or a homemaker. If you want to be successful, whatever your discipline or path in life, you must be in the communications business, and you must avail yourself to the resources of our expanding communications enterprise. Otherwise, your ideas won't be heard. Your competitors will occupy your place, and your colleagues will invite you to their parties. You don't have a choice whether you'll be part of this communications network. You will. You only have a choice of how well and how wisely you use it. For yourself and for others, this is going to be the key question. And for those of you who are going to be in the communications enterprise, your choice is deeper, almost a call to arms. Today, you can be part of a new electronic core for peace, utilizing state-of-the-art technology, a cadre of ambassadors for the new millennium, conceived by hope, propelled across the globe by electronic communications, and fueled by the desire in your hearts and the dreams in your minds to make your world a better place in which to live. You can choose to be a participant or a leader, or you can abdicate your responsibilities to mankind. I urge you, step to this challenge, seize the electronic command centers at your disposal, plug in, turn on, present your knowledge, convictions, and dreams. You are the first generation in our history which can access practically at the touch of a button the entire catalog of our artistic, cultural, and social, political, and scientific achievements to date as a basis for your decisions. Think about that. In just 3 or 4 years, everything will be connected. Every database will be connected. There'll be no resource not available to you very easily. You are the first generation in our history which truly possesses the resources on an individual basis to affect global change for good or for evil, to motivate the actions, inspire the aspirations, and shape the attitudes of millions of people to make a better place to live for all of you and all of your children. You have the tools, you have the reach, you have the resources, turn on the switch, and you have the power. The choice is yours. Don't scoff at idealism. Don't surrender to cynicism. If you have the power, then you have a right, an obligation, a mandate to put it to good use, to make your planet a better place to enrich the lives of those who inhabit it. Use it or lose it. This communications architecture, this communications cornucopia, this global electronic village which we live in, must become the facilitator of all of your dreams and all of your ideas. You watch electronic media which uses the swirling graphic, music, sound bites as a substitute for news you can use, which offers Geraldo Rivera, hard copy, and inside edition to shape your mind and nourish your soul. Think about that. We are forced to look at Lorena Bobbitt, Lyle Menendez, and David Koresh as cultural icons. You have the power. Turn it off. Tune it out. What you turn on will determine what's communicated. What you turn off will determine what's not communicated. They, I guess it's we, are listening. If your information has the ability to enlighten others, you have the responsibility to use it. If your dreams have the power to inspire others, you have a mandate to share them. In a world crowded with 6 billion people, there is quite simply no room for a good idea conserved in private and kept in isolation. Therefore, information becomes exponentially more valuable when it is shared and communicated. And that should be your fundamental credo as the inheritors of this incredible communications resource. Simply possessing the resource is not enough. You must be resourceful. By the time your children are standing here at their own commencement, the world's population will have grown by another 3 billion people. 3 billion people, that's a staggering number, an increase of more than 10 times the entire population of the United States. That will make a total population of 9 billion people living in an era of almost instantaneous global electronic communications. 9 billion people who will compete for air, water, food, natural resources. Let me say this to you. You don't want to be in the communications business? Then somebody else will shape with their ideas and dreams this world. If you want to assume this responsibility and meet this challenge, I leave you with 4 thoughts. First, learn the contents of your toolkit, your ability to communicate with, to make contact with, and most importantly, influence your colleagues, companies, and communities. Because this will be shaped by a far more comprehensive group of resources than ever before. They range from the sophisticated computers, email, internet, to the simple words, gestures, ideas, convictions, commitment, one-to-one, me to you, person-to-person. Mastery of sophisticated technology doesn't mean you have to learn how to use each and every resource yourself. Mastery means that you need to know who and where to ask and have the will to do so. The system operates according to the principle of human in, human out, like first in, first out. Remember that technology alone cannot generate a product at the end of the pipeline which has greater value than the resource you put in at the front end. Technology is not the answer. It will not save you. It is only a facilitator. Communications carries the value forward, and the art in communications remains primal. You must develop mastery of your ideas, dreams, and passions, and you must be first in contact with yourself before you can communicate effectively with others. Your resources of emotion, imagination, and inspiration comes from inside, not the technology, not the set-top box, not the interface, not the computer. They are the seminal element of the entire system. That leads me to my second point. Your ideas and dreams must connect with the hearts and soul of your customers, your society, your friends, whatever audience you're trying to make contact with, as you compete against an avalanche of other data. You'll have to use every resource at your command so your information becomes and remains a priority for the receiver. Learn how to apply the power of electronics plus entertainment plus emotion, E to the third power, E cubed, to motivate your employees, colleagues, townspeople, neighbors, and families to achieve their objectives. Understand what's happening in the news media. Why do you think they use the swirling graphics, the screaming soundbite, the information laden with emotional frosting to cut straight through your brain to reach your heart and gut? You have to learn how to use these same tools, but you must apply them with benevolence, not banality. Learn when to use the E factor, emotion, to demand attention. Learn when to touch the E spot, the emotional core in those around you, to stimulate contact, which is the core generator of effective action. Electronics will transport your ideas as far as you want to send them. It will reach the eyes and ears and attention of whatever audience you need or want to contact. But emotion, passion, will allow you to touch their hearts and souls. And passion will enable you to inspire them to action. Electronics may create the trajectory, but passion will determine its impact. But you must also have compassion. That is the third message I'd like you to hear. Passion will enable you to master the resources of your communications toolkit in a way that touches the lives of those around you to make a difference. But it's compassion that will ensure that you have a positive impact and make a positive difference. Compassion will help you elevate technology to its next evolutionary plane, a phase beyond technology's famous state-of-the-art, ART, to a new platform that's state-of-the-heart, H-E-A-R-T. State-of-the-art technology gives new vitality to things. state-of-the-heart technology gives new vitality to the soul. It infuses our dreams and hopes and aspirations with the resonance and blessings more tangible impact. State-of-the-heart technology ennobles societies, enriches lives, and creates a proud and enduring legacy of prosperity. It makes both its creators and its beneficiaries better than they were before. That brings me to the last point. The greatest state-of-the-heart technology, of course, is people. In our focus on this 500-channel universe, digital superhighways, set-top converter boxes, and other quantum leaps forward in technology, we must not forget that the digital spectrum begins in analog and ends in analog. As I said a moment ago, it begins with people like you and me and ends with people like you and me. People are the creators of technology. They are the users of technology, and they are the beneficiaries of technology. The two most spectacular technologies ever invented were the human brain and the human soul. Forget this not. No matter how much technology comes online, no matter how digitized our world becomes, our most precious product, resource, and technology is people. When somebody tells me at the company, invest in technology, I respond, we invest in people. That's an important lesson to bear in mind as you look for ways to communicate and contribute to your world through whatever forum, one-on-one, or speaking to the entire planet. Invest in people. The phrase, you can make a difference, may not seem new. What is new is the scale on which you can make a difference, the need to make a difference, and the willingness I believe most of you have to become media-equipped and make a difference, the architects of a powerful, positive social change on all levels. You have a choice. You can either become the super couch potatoes of history, the human sponges of 500 channels surfing through the white noise, or you can take the reins of the same global electronic communications and use them to try and create a better world. Forge a legacy of which you can take pride. The one question, which I hope many of you will be asking, is, where do I begin? Archimedes said, give me the right place to stand and I can move the earth. I'll tell you where to stand. I'll share my view with you to stand. You'll make your own choice. Don't forget technology, use it. But remember, stand with the poets, stand with the dreamers, stand with the adventurers, stand with the risk takers. Stand in that special place and you'll move the planet. Godspeed, graduates. Go Huskies.